Was I supposed to do a Kermit the Frog voice there? Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today we're going to do two things. First, I'm going to let you hear the second half of that recent outrage discussion, where we talk about advice that we would give to outgoing missionaries and eventually end up reading excerpts from our own mission journals. Now, I think it's an excellent discussion, and we desire all to receive it. But I also want to talk a bit more about Patreon, because I mentioned it on our last episode, and a few of you have already joined up. That's awesome. But I want you all to become Patreon supporters of Infants on Thrones, because this is really going to reinvigorate our creative juices. And when that happens, we all win. So what is Patreon? It's essentially a throwback to the olden days of lords and ladies becoming patrons of the arts, of people supporting the creative work of the artist that they like, except that this is being done in a modern crowdsourcing format that allows some pretty cool community interaction that I don't think we've ever really been able to do before with Infants on Thrones. Think of it as joining like a private Facebook group that allows you to interact with the infants in a lot of different ways, but doesn't show up on any of your friends or family's Facebook timeline. So you can do it with discretion if that's important to you. It's only visible to other Patreon subscribers, and we do things like post video messages to you. I've already put a couple up there. We'll give you sneak peeks into upcoming episodes. I'm planning on releasing something today or tomorrow on the Shone Project to give Patreon subscribers a sneak peek of what I'm doing with that. We can give you raw recordings of discussions that we had, but we haven't edited or released yet. And so you'd get that long before we release them to the general public. We can experiment with different video and audio formats and just kind of play around and have fun, provide bonus content that non-Patreon members won't have access to. So that's basically what Patreon is, and I'm going to talk more about it at the end of this episode. But for now, buckle up, because you're about to hear what may be my favorite infants discussion ever. Enjoy.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Super exclusive Patreon content.
The philosophies of men mingled with humans. We are the Quorum.
I want to do like genuine advice you wish you would have gotten before your mission, or advice you would give someone going on a mission.
You know, I had the same question because my nephew just went on his mission, and I don't think that he would
got a call. Yeah, same reason.
Yeah, and I was like, what would I really? I mean, I don't think he would be receptive to my, because I'm kind of, you know, the
Brother Jake.
I'm viewed with suspicion a little bit,
viewed
at least
suspicion.
Within my family.
And a bit of outrage.
Right, a little outrage. I was wondering, like, if I were to, what would I even say to him? You know, so is the premise somebody's definitely going on a mission? You're not trying to talk them out.
Stop them. You're not going to talk them out of it.
Right. Right.
But this is someone you love. You want to ensure that they have as positive and healthy an experience, and you know what the potential pitfalls are because you lived it, and because now as an exmo you see what the potential problems are, and you don't want them to, you're not looking to convert them against the church or stop them or anything like that, but just to
see this seems like it's scratching on the thought experiment of like, if you could go back in time and tell your younger self something or give your younger self some advice, what would it be? If Matt today could go back to Matt before his mission, what would you say? Like, hang in there, buddy. You know, stop masturbating for hell's sakes.
Yeah.
What would they?
I would have different answers though for that scenario than the one that Matt's.
Really? Because I would have the same. I would have the same.
No, in the going back in time, I would assume that I still have knowledge of what happened to me, and so with that knowledge, I'm, you know, giving myself advice on how to do things better. But if it's for somebody else that's going on a mission now, that's a different scenario for me. So what I would say to somebody going on a mission now is take time, like with everything that you're doing on your mission, take time to learn about the place that you are. You know, learn about the people that are there, the culture that's there, the history, whether it's Illinois or Lima, Peru, or Bulgaria.
Dedicate a lot of hours to service, man. Yeah.
Well, but you're restricted on what you're actually able to do as a missionary. You get 4 hours a week.
Bend the friggin' rules. That's what I say.
Well, I instead of even saying service, I just say focus on helping people and being nice to people.
Just be nice. Yeah.
Don't worry about teaching. Don't worry about converting. Just find opportunities to be nice.
Yeah, but
be
as
nice
soon as you do that, as soon as you say don't worry about teaching and don't worry about learning, you lose them.
Yeah.
They're gone. Right. They're not going to listen to your advice.
Well, but I think the don't worry about is don't get the way to probably pitch it would be don't be numbers driven.
Or I would say measure your success by engagement, not by final outcome. Like it's okay if I'm to put it in the context of believers, it's okay. Planting seeds is totally valid and, you know, just speaking their language. Not everything ends in a baptism that you get to fulfill from start to finish, meeting the person, and then that is the language that they understand. So I would say just engage with people, have meaningful conversations, see what they need, help them in the way that you think they need help, and then it leaves it a little open for still being churchy enough for them, right?
So Bob, does the engagement angle, does that have to happen while they're on their mission, or they can wait like a year or so afterwards like you and Eva did?
No comment. I have no advice.
All right.
You got to lock that down.
Yeah. You got to lock that down.
Your heart.
Would you encourage, you know, meeting someone on your mission? That would be it's not a bad thing, right?
It's not. No. Yeah. I don't know that I could say don't do it. Yeah. Well, it being, I should define what it is. meeting people that you may or may not marry later, meeting them on your mission, it's the shit. It's good stuff. I recommend it.
You know, it's funny. As I was listening back to our 2 or 3 years ago, whenever that Bob's Mormon Cred Scale episode was, Matt, that's where you called yourself the former Mormon or a post Mormon or whatever it was.
That's funny.
That was hilarious.
Clearly, and
so that's the guy 3 years ago that was the post Mormon that now is saying, "What advice would you give to missionaries? Let's do an episode on that."
but this is where I'm actually coming full circle. And whereas when my last nephew went, it was just kind of like, "Ugh, what is this? A horrible idea?
Right, stupid."
Right. And I'm like, "Okay, is there a way that I could actually contribute and be part of this experience for my family member, even as a non-member? I think I have something to actually contribute positively to him." And so, I think it is a reflection, maybe of some growth and some embracing again that part of our old culture.
You know, Krista's nephew got a mission call about a month ago to go to Uganda. And of course, what was the first thing that I thought of when he got the call to Uganda? So I went and I used my video editing skills and took some pictures of him and superimposed it over, you know, just like a snippet from that song in the Book of Mormon musical. You know, like pictures of missionaries.
Hasadiga Ibowai, that's inappropriate.
I didn't do that one. No, but it was like there was nothing about it that was like even edgy. It was just like, you know, because that part of the musical, that part of the song is pretty good. And the response, I mean, it was an interesting response from them, but I still think they were like, "What, should I watch this?"
Like,
I don't know. This is that suspect. That anti-Mormon podcasting guy. So I do like that idea, Matt, of kind of like reinventing the post Mormon identity to be supportive of the things that our Mormon family and friends care about without having to put in any editorializing. Good luck on your mission. It sucks, you know.
Yeah,
like as you're leading people into, as you're spreading lies of the Mormon Church. Have fun with that, you know. Like that, we can just kind of drop that and really focus on them.
You're really not going to be able to talk to your folks only twice a year. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, have fun not dating for 2 years.
You know? No, but so my nephew got called to Oregon, and that just happened in the last couple of days. But then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he's not going to be prepared for dealing with this liberal, you know, people with the internet, and now I started getting a little concerned for him, and what tools could I give him to at least kind of like I almost wanted to give him a little bit of inoculation, and hey, you should really read the essays and you know, to try to give him some tools while he's out there, because I feel like he's being fed to the wolves up in Oregon. This kind of just naive, good-hearted kid that doesn't know a lot about life or about the church and these things. So I really am genuinely concerned with his emotional health, and I don't want him treated bad by people either. People like me that would, you know, 3 years ago would have been a little bit more of a dick to him than I would be now.
Mm.
You know, I don't know.
Makes sense.
So would you recommend that at least that missionaries be exposed to the church essays, the more controversial ones that have come out on the, sure, on some of the issues?
Yeah, I think that's fair, especially because it's like, it's not even like Bushman. It's not like Rough Stone Rolling. Maybe I wouldn't go that far necessarily, but it's on the freaking LDS.org website. That's legit stuff. That should be in bounds, right? I don't know.
Well, that's my thought. And do you think it would help? So I'm asking because I was joking with my folks by telling them that, you know, I'd be happy to do the Matt Long missionary prep, and they thought I was being kind of a dick, and like, I'd explain why the church.
Why would they get that idea?
Oh, I don't know. Only a lifetime of living with me and knowing me.
How to Be an Asshole class by Matt Long. Come on, sign up.
But it comes from a really good place, and that was one of the things that I thought I'd suggest at least. Hey, you should at least be aware of these things, and these can give you some answers to some tough questions.
Yeah,
wouldn't part of your recommending that be the hope that they would kind of start to unravel
secretly? Yeah, but Matt, you're not going to annotate it or anything. So the way those essays are written for a believer is, depending on your trajectory, they last as answers for 6 months to 6 years, you know. But it's still, it's at least planting the seed that there's serious issues, and it gives some answers. And for a little while, they're sustainably, you know, relatively decent to sort of have you back burner it and put it on the shelf. But to not have anything on your shelf, or to not have a shelf at all and go on a mission, that's a lot worse, because then you're going to hear it for the first time.
But you're talking about like your nephews or your cousins. Like, you don't have any kind of responsibility to prepare them for, and so to make suggestions that they read this to prepare, I don't know. I'm not as comfortable with that as you are, Matt. Like, if they came to me and they asked, that's one thing. But if I'm just like volunteering, hey, you should read this essay from the church about the Book of Abraham.
It totally will give you a leg up, and it won't destroy your faith or anybody else's.
It's totally legit.
At least
legit.
Not for 6 months.
See, I feel like I was coming from such a good place, and you guys are just like shadow.
Sorry,
well, maybe
that's
you
my
are.
Fault. My fault.
I think I'm just exposing my inability to.
No, that's why I'm vetting it. I think it's it does highlight. And Scott and I were talking about this just the other day. It highlights how fundamentally changed your relationships are with family members. You can't have that same, you can't be that uncle that is supportive and is there. There's always going to be that suspect. Like, why is he doing? And that's pretty sad.
Well, I think you can, but you're going to have to build a few bridges that either you've burned or not there anymore. Like, when I was picturing myself, like if I was going to do some, you know, Uncle Tom missionary prep class, I honestly...
Don't be racist, Tom. Don't be racist.
Uncle Tom.
Come on up to my cabin. The pew's great. That was horrible. Thanks. No, but I was thinking, honestly, I would just teach them practical skills, like, okay, let's tie some neckties.
That's not bad, dude.
Let's work on, you know, cooking macaroni and cheese and some ramen. It's just some real basic cooking skills, just practical things that I remember when I was on my mission. I'm like, gosh, I really wish that somebody would have taught me how to, you know, cook like a casserole or something. You know, I had no idea.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm reading on every single box that I buy, trying to follow that recipe. And I was thinking, well, if I was to do it, I would just seriously just spend all the time just teaching them little practical things. Like, okay, well, you know all the books that you need to read and that you're going to read, but I'm not going to be that, apostate relative that's going to be like, hey, well, make sure you read, Rough Stone Rolling, wink, wink, and Will Bagley, don't forget that book, and I'll sneak that in your luggage. I don't want to be that guy.
I think staying away from doctrinal things is smart. Focusing on that practical piece. I was having a conversation with my dad the other day, and I was trying to explain a concept to him, and I slipped into Book of Mormon speak, and I said, Dad, it's kind of like, I kind of feel like Lehi walking through the midst of darkness without like a rod, and something like that. I was using that as an analogy, and he goes, careful. Like, what do you mean careful? He goes, you're going to get my hopes up if you start using analogies like that. I'm like, well.
Bad joke. Bad joke.
What do you mean by that, Dad? He goes, I always hold out hope. And we don't really talk about that. So it was kind of like inching closer to having that kind of conversation. But I do that a lot when I'm around him, where we're talking about, when I was a missionary and I had this experience. And it is like what you were saying, Tom, about tying a necktie, just like a practical thing that I learned or something that I'm grateful for. And I do always sense that there's kind of this confusion when they're hearing it, like, well, if you liked that and that was okay, then why aren't you still in it? And yeah, so it's tricky.
Yeah. It's tricky. I just had a conversation with my mom a couple days ago where I realized she just simply doesn't grasp that I'm not Mormon anymore. Like there's just this, in her world, there's inactive, and she gets that, but the truly being non-Mormon is just not something she wraps her head around. And I just mentioned something about, drinking, something about, I had a beer with a steak, or I forgot the context, but there was a reason. I didn't just come and be like, hey mom, I like alcohol, but it was just a kind of a natural throwaway. And I kind of forgot where I was and she just, why do you drink? And I thought, oh, this is a weird conversation to be having. I'm 42, you're 70 something. I mean, I was like, yeah, mom, cause I'm an adult. That's why I drink. Sometimes. And I didn't have a better response than that. And it really just highlighted that I will always be Mormon in their mind, or at least still at some point I'll come back, just kind of like your dad said.
Well, when it comes to a believer's standpoint, and I run into this quite a bit, where it's nearly impossible for them to wrap their mind on the fact that someone could out and out reject the truth, capital T truth. Nobody would reject that. Nobody would turn their back to that. Nobody would. And so that's why
it's outrageous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It would never, ever happen. And so obviously there's all these other things that had to lead them away, or, obviously they wanted a drink, or they just couldn't keep their hand off their dicks, or whatever it is. They just couldn't. Because they couldn't possibly turn away from the truth. And if they're in that mind frame, then yeah, they're not going to be able to accept the fact of where you landed in your journey. So, or at least where you're at now, not landed where you're at now,
or where your hand is at now.
Yeah. Right.
Guilty.
And check everyone.
That was Jake.
High five.
That was Jake.
Patty cake.
I hadn't said anything in a while. I was like, dick joke.
Speaking of, I haven't said anything in a while. When's your next Brother Jake video?
Up your butt, I don't know. I mean,
are you getting ready for a kid or something? What's going on?
Yeah, it's just the gearing up for this. I just haven't concentrated on it. You know what I really need to start? I need to start the Brother Jake Reviews X thing. Because I was going to do like Brother Jake, like a series of like kind of shorter videos where I review Catholicism, and I'm like, and I like rate it like 3 out of 5. Like, they understand the importance of priesthood, but they baptize babies and they use wine. 3 out of 5. Catholicism, okay. That's so great. Buddhism, like 2 out of 5, because they don't really have a, you know, the reincarnation.
No structure. No. Really,
right, right.
I like
or Hinduism. I'd be like, reincarnation. No, not really. It's gonna be a 1 out of 5. It's like 1 Moroni out of 5.
Moroni. I approve.
So anyway, that. But you're right. I've been slacking on it. I think part of it is like the outrage thing. Like I feel like the coming back to that, the angst is like a big part of the motivating factor. And like as I felt more.
So is this wait? Is this all one episode or is this two? Because I thought we switched. I thought because I'm thinking about this from editing, and I'm thinking, okay, at 58 yeah. minutes we cut, and that's one episode, and now we're talking about a second one. And Jake, now you're like bringing us back.
Okay, cut that out. Other brother Jakes, they'll other. I'll do more. I still have to do the Book of Mormon. I really have to take on like history of the Book of Mormon. I still haven't done that one yet, and that is my freaking. That'll be my
swan song.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but that'll be my
season finale.
Opus. Yeah. Magnum opus, whatever.
Well, I was going to say related to the other topic that we can't talk about. I think you get a free pass because satire is gold, man. Just anything that handles topics in that way. I think that's like the get out of jail free card. You don't need to feel guilty about any of that other stuff if you're doing like good satire. That's just my opinion.
As opposed to everything else that you say.
Right.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Glenn.
Sarcasm is like this cloak that can just protect me from anything.
I'm trying to hook you up, Jake.
Speaking of that, going back to the whole, if you could go back in time and talk to your younger self or whatever, I think probably the top of the list, what I would tell younger Tom is just stop taking so much of it so serious, dude. Just chill the hell out. Have some fun.
You would never listen to yourself. I mean, honestly, like right. you would never listen to yourself if you said
probably
that. Don't
not,
take don't take it seriously.
Not.
You're right.
Yeah.
But if I pulled out my driver's license and say, "Dude, I'm really you, man. Just chill the fuck out."
Yeah. But then he'd be depressed. He'd be like, "I became an apostate. Oh my god, it's probably right. because I started chilling out."
I need to be more intense about this. That's hilarious.
Right.
Well, I got to give my son, you do get to give young you advice as your kids get older. And I gave Tommy advice, you know, it's what I would be saying to 18-year-old gay me, I guess, which is not unlike 18-year-old me back then. But
been a little gay.
Always just a little. But he's going to start in his freshman year. So he is. Should be starting his mission. He should be putting in his papers. And man, I am thrilled that he's not doing that. That it's just like I have this just relief that he's not going on a mission. And as my nephew and my cousin's kids and other people in our family are all kind of that same generation that are going on missions, I just feel like a weight's lifted that he doesn't have to deal with that and go through the indoctrination, everything that I know that's coming, even though I had such a great mission, even in retrospect as an apostate, I did enjoy my mission, but the risk of just the other stuff was just so, I'm just seeing that alternative kind of reality of what it could be with my son and some of his anxieties and his just a lot of things and how we've clearly dodged a bullet by leaving the church for him. But come back to the advice we can give him. He's so worried about what am I going to major in and what am I going to do for work and I've got to pick a job. And we spent some time talking about him saying that's the trap I fell into is because when I came home from my mission, I'm now 21. I'm 2 years behind, behind everyone else, and I've got to make a decision on what I'm going to do. So it felt okay. I'm either going to do accounting or finance or computer information system or law or doctor or teacher. These are my options. That's the only thing that exists. I will do one of those. Let's go. And, you know, 20 years later, I'm a lawyer. Yay. And so we tried to talk to him about just go to school knowing you don't, there's a lot that you don't know. Go take classes, find out what interests you. Take a minute just to learn about the world and about philosophy and about world religions and all these things. Take time, and you don't have to make any decisions this year, and you probably don't have to make any decisions next year. You just have to go into school kind of with your mind open. That's what I wish I knew. And he seemed to actually take it, and he wasn't concerned about declaring a major, and I don't know, it seems like it helped. So that's what I wish I could have told 18-year-old me.
That sounds like what my advice was.
Mic drop, man, that was good.
What do you mean your advice was what?
Learn about the people, learn about the, you know, take the time to learn. Anyway, I'm cutting this out. Never mind. No, I was just trying to make a stupid joke, but it didn't fly, and so I'm not gonna leave one of those in.
Editors.
Heck no.
Yeah, dude. I'm very, very happy of all of you that have older kids that I can commiserate with, man. Because God damn, it's hard.
It sucks. And my daughter, she's still in France right now, and that's been like the one thing we go around like, yeah, my daughter's in France. Like, I ran into my state president, and he's like, so your daughter, she's getting to that age, the missionary age or whatever. I'm like, well, she's still got, you know, 1 or 2 years to that age. Yeah. But she's in France serving a mission, sort of, study abroad. So yeah, that's the way we're looking at it. Like, oh, she's actually immersing herself in the culture and doing really fun and exciting things, like seeing the catacombs and the Eiffel Tower and all that cool stuff, and not having to, you know, push her beliefs onto other people. That's great.
Yeah. So you want to hear something outrageous now? My nephew, the one that's going on a mission, he posted something on Facebook that it took all of my energy and all of the discretion that I could have to not say something about it.
What would you have said, and what was it that pissed you off?
What did you feel? How would you describe the emotion that you felt when you saw it?
I'm going to go with outrage. No.
I'm sorry. Were you fully erect?
So, no, but he changes his cover photo to this, and it's this quote that says, "Mind your own business. If you didn't hear it with your own ears or see it with your own eyes, you don't share it with your own mouth."
None of them really work.
The message that this future missionary decided to adopt as
But see, you forget, Matt. you're forgetting that feeling the confirmation of the Spirit telling you that Joseph Smith's first vision is true is the same as those things that he just said.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
TBN Whisperer.
Burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. Maybe.
I think I'll just make this section an Easter egg instead of its own separate episode, because we're only an hour 24 minutes in. It wasn't. Yeah.
Was that all we've gone?
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
Do it.
I think that sounds good. I think it's fine. I think it'll work. And Jake, when is your baby due?
So yeah, we're the 15th is the due date
of June.
June.
Oh my gosh.
It could literally happen anytime.
Wow.
How come we're not getting like baby bump pictures on Facebook?
Because I don't post on Facebook.
I know. I only post your Halloween pictures.
You bring that up now, Jake. Only time I get to see Jake. Jake, do you know what the conversation was about earlier? This is the first time in the last hour and a half you're like, by the way, guys, I don't post on Facebook.
Sounds like
that's the type of thing that somebody that posts on Facebook would want to say, like the same disposition to get little things about like, oh, look how cool I am. That's the type of thing that would make me post on Facebook. It's a catch 22.
Cool. Yeah, too cool for school. Yeah.
No, I find that all the time, Jake, is when I'm really having a good time, or I was like, wow, I should share. Yeah, I should post this on Facebook. And it's like, well, why? What's my motivation for doing that? And I end up not.
Yeah, it just, it feels weird. It just, it feels so self-indulgent to just say, like, I have this megaphone and, like, what's the next? And now, like, if I look back, you can go 3 or 4 posts in the past and you're back 5 years, you know, in my life. Yeah. So, like, I'm going to break the silence of, like, almost a year with, like, had some great bacon today. know, like, I imagine that this is like what could I possibly say that could like justify breaking a 1 year silence?
You know, I don't think that anybody's really paying that close of attention to it, Jake.
Yeah, probably not. But I am. I can't get out of my own head, and so it's just.
You know, I find myself.
That's awesome.
This is really strange. When I look back, Jake hasn't posted much in the last year, and now he's had this really good bacon.
Has he been okay?
What's going on? He is such a hypocrite. He has betrayed his principles of like not posting on Facebook just to tell us about this delicious bacon. What an asshole that guy is.
See, that's what I'm saying.
So you know what I started doing? I started posting just to myself so only me can see it.
Yeah.
Wait, what does that solve?
Oh, he gets way more likes and comments that way.
No,
engagement.
You know what I decided? I was like, you know what? There's stuff that I want to say, but nobody needs to. It's kind of the Abraham Lincoln approach of here, I have something to say, and I'm like, yeah, I'm only gonna post that to myself. Nobody gets to see it. And then I'll think about it tomorrow, and if I want to post it, I'll change it from only me to my friends, and I end up not.
I think you're saying you just rediscovered journaling.
that's an interesting concept because of the Book of Mormon, I never ever thought that my journal was just going to be read by only me.
Yeah. No, I you know, still can't. Yeah.
And like it's funny because my mom, it's been years, she may not even remember this, but she used to keep 2 journals. There was the one, you know, that she would record into a journal, and then there was the one that was just for her.
Yeah, the one. Well, I thought about this, actually. I thought, you know what? At some point, I'll die. That will just happen. And you've got these Facebook things, and now my loved ones, friends, you guys can then have access to it and then see what I actually thought about stuff. And there's some horrible stuff at no. But
we all know that, though.
Yeah.
Do you have like grandparents that actually journaled?
No.
Sure you do. I bet you do.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're not going back through your grandparents' stuff and like finding what did they think about Franklin Delano Roosevelt? What did they think?
I don't know, man. I think I would be interested.
I'm speaking for me then, because I've got journals of my great grandfather and his mission journal that I was given, you know, like at one point to be the family historian. Here's your great grandfather's mission scriptures and his journal that goes with it. And I think my dad was hoping that I would transcribe it, you know, and I started reading it, and I'm like.
I can tell you, man, my dad's parents, my grandparents, died when he was, in his 20s and before he was 20, never knew him. I have spent a lot of time trying to learn more about him. I ask questions. There's not a lot there. I've gone through years wanting to know more about my grandparents cause I never knew him. And so,
well, don't I feel like the fucking asshole?
Yeah, I'll check you out. So a lot of that is, maybe there's some loss there, and so I think that, you know, depending on when I go, I need my opinions heard. Damn it. So,
you know, I actually started journaling recently. I actually did start journaling recently, just because I wanted some way to like, you know, vent those thoughts. But I was like, I don't want anybody else to say this, you know, because I just don't think most people realize how embarrassing their blogs are.
Yeah.
Like, people don't see, and I have like friends that blog a lot, and then I like look at those blogs. And I'm like, these are fucking terrible.
That's because Brother Jake hasn't reviewed them and rated them yet.
That's like what? That's like half a Moroni. That's just the trumpet.
But you know, Jake, you know the reason why I stopped journaling is because I used to journal, and when I've read through it, I'm like, sheesh, I'm not gonna do that shit no more.
Eesh. Yeah, I mean,
that's why I stopped journaling on my mission, Tom.
Oh yeah,
I went back and read it a year and a half in. I was like, well, this is stupid. This is a waste of time. I'm not doing it.
Oh man, because some of the stuff I wrote, I mean, oh, who would like that guy?
That might be kind of funny though, to have like an episode where we're just like reading different excerpts from our mission journal. I've got some choice stuff in there, man.
I could, man.
I've got some choice stuff.
Yeah,
Oh, you did that recently. Didn't you do something like that, Jake? Or you were listening to an audio tape of yourself from your mission. And you're like, I hate that guy.
Yeah, well, it was a few years ago, but like, so my wife and I, she wasn't my wife at the time, obviously, but when we corresponded on my mission, we'd record things on like an MP3 player and then send CDs back and forth. So like listening.
Your technology, it feels like you're like in Star Trek to hear a mission. Why would you have an MP3 on a mission? Did you have a time machine? You mean the little cassette tapes and like the little recorders?
That's the thing, is like ultimately it was actually not even more convenient at all, because like the cassette was just more compact. They were more robust than like a CD player, and then we'd have to pull off the MP3 files. Anyway, the point is, there's a lot of shit on there that I am not proud of. Just things that I said, and I was like, God, it was really annoying. And I keep saying, I'm going to do this, but I probably won't. But it would be an interesting thing for me to go through and pull out half an hour's worth or something like that, and just kind of like play it and then comment on.
Maybe that could be like bonus content when we finally get the Patreon page up and running.
There yeah,
like
right.
Excerpts from our mission journals.
Ooh, right. Dude, I would do excerpts from my mission journal. I haven't pulled it out in forever, but
You know what? You know, I remember reading part of my missionary journal, and I was like bearing my testimony on the page. It's like, this ink is testifying to my future self of how important this religion and how much my faith is. And I was reading that the other day, and I was having flashbacks of what was going through my head. Like, I really feel this way, and I'm telling my future self, like, I'm going to stay stalwart. I'm going to be that bishop or mission president or whatever the hell I thought I was going to be. And yeah, this is going to be so self-affirming. I'm the shit, man. I was reading that, and I'm like, man, I was the biggest asshole back then.
I have every letter that I wrote too. My folks kept them and gave it to me in this big book. And
you still have it?
Dude, it's right up here in my closet, and it's funny because I have like my letters to Kristen and Kristen to me. I haven't pulled them out in forever, but yeah, maybe I'll do that. I'll look at that.
Ooh, I don't know.
I love how you guys are like, this is the most embarrassing shit ever. Do you think the best way to distribute it is to have people pay for it? Yeah.
Hold it, man.
Oh yeah, because you don't think that people want to hear our dirt?
No,
come on.
You're right.
Come on. They want to hear how bad and painful and awful it was for me to describe the most spiritual experience that I ever had, and how it, you know, like moved me to tears when I was set apart as a missionary. Like the language that I used on that was so flowery and just. Yeah.
That would be okay. So what if we did? What if we did do? Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, sorry. I said, and how thin the veil felt certain times on my mission. It was just like right there.
Okay, so it would be fun if. I could see it actually being kind of fun to have, like, everybody gets their mission journal out, and you just start flipping through the pages, and then you just say stop, and you have to just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And, you know, and just, like, have a roulette of, like.
Start reading up paragraph 3. Okay, right. Go.
All right, who has access to their journal right now?
I can do it. It's right behind me. Here, I'll be right back.
Here, I can grab mine.
We're not going to do this shit right now.
I'm going to go get mine,
too. I'm doing one.
I'm getting mine. I'm getting mine.
Oh, my gosh. Do I got to really go find mine?
Why did I just agree to this? That was really stupid.
All right. I got... Jeez. Who's still on?
Who's still on?
I'm here.
Just you? Everybody else went to get their journals?
I was just That's saying awesome. To myself, like, are we seriously doing this?
This is awesome.
It's kind of scary, actually, because now that I agreed to it, I'm like, I don't know that I have confidence that I want to say whatever I find. We'll see.
This is kind of cool. Like, I really haven't even opened this thing up. And it's funny to see. I filled almost the whole thing. I've got two journals here. But I've got to read this first page as soon as everybody's back. Is Jake and Tom back?
Yeah. So I'm back. It took me a little longer to track it down than I thought it would, but I got it.
Is Tom there?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys there? Like
Tom. Reluctantly, right. Tom is back.
Well, no, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is I couldn't find it. It was not what I thought it was.
We all seem to almost have that problem.
I want to read mine. This is January 27th, 1991.
You're too eager to read it, Glenn.
I know.
Go ahead.
I haven't read this forever.
Ugh. All right,
this was a day before my 19th birthday. I feel that my fragile frame is much too delicate to contain all the joy that the Lord has planned for me. I was set apart as a missionary this evening by President Robert Kempton. Matt?
Oh, check
it out. Oh, was that the guy that got busted for prostitutes?
Yeah. Yeah. much later. Yeah, that was like a few years ago. My father and my grandpa Riggs assisted in the blessing. Never in my life have I felt such overwhelming emotion. With tears streaming down my face, it was all that I could do to keep from bursting out loud into sobs of joy. I kind of feel sad reading this now. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
In the blessing... cringy. I was promised many things. I was promised that I would experience, through all of the days of my mission, a health and strength greater than ever experienced before. I was blessed with the gift of tongues, the ability and desire to learn. I was counseled on my thoughts. I was blessed that I would be able to converse with the Japanese and understand their words to their amazement. Yeah. Insert Elder Price thing here, doing something incredible. I was blessed with the Spirit of the Lord and truly know that Jesus Christ knows and loves me, and that it was He who called me specifically to Okayama. There are people in Okayama, and I spelled that wrong there, that have been prepared for me to share the gospel, and they will be drawn to me and recognize me. I was blessed with a love and gratitude for these people. I was blessed that I may gain humility and learn that without the Lord, I am nothing. President Kempton blessed me with the knowledge of the truth. He told me that there were many other blessings that he felt restrained to say, that the Lord was saving and anxious to give to me in due time if I am prepared. What a mind fuck that was.
Ooh, right, a teaser.
Oh, jeez. Where much is given, much is required, and I have been given much. I want to stand by the Lord forever and ever, and I know that through diligence and hard work, as well as living pure and clean, insert my hidden masturbation guilt into that one, I will experience many wonderful things. One sentence comes to my mind: choose this privilege.
Why did anybody think this was a good idea?
Yeah. Should we just stop there?
I think I should get like 20 points of Mormon cred just for that
one. Yeah.
So I'm already want to punch myself in the face.
Does that mean you're going next?
We don't have to do this. Maybe no, this I'm, is I'm a bad I'm idea.
I'm in. Everybody's just.
No, I'm in because yeah, I just realized how cute I'm trying to be, and I'm trying to do the whole. Oh, I'm self-aware and trying not to be too serious, but yet it just doesn't. It's not striking the balance that I'd hoped. So it's a little cliche. So I, Matthew Long, having been born of goodly parents,
yes!
Therefore,
yeah.
Did you really write that, Matt?
I'm telling you, I'm fucking reading it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I have been taught somewhat in all the learning of my father. Wow. I do hereby begin to write of my dealings as a missionary.
Oh, yeah.
Hereby.
Dude.
I hope this record has Matt some spiritual accounts, as I am in the service of my God.
Gosh.
The contents of this book, may not have any purpose for the good of mankind. I do, however.
It might.
I do, however, hope to share this with my righteous posterity.
But not
in hopes
ones.
To be able to teach them somewhat about their father, and they might become better and stronger than me.
I love the language, Matt. Like the somewhat about their father. Like it's so Mormon speak.
I know.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome.
That they might follow my example of the good things of my life and learn from and to avoid my mistakes. I also hope to get a kick out of this in a few years down the road. And it's for these wise purposes that I do start my record. Read and do not judge, but try to understand and love.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it is, because it shows the way that Mormonism imprinted on you.
I'm kind of trying to do it tongue in cheek, because I weave that in throughout, and I'm trying to be cute about it, but it's not really working out. But here, so now juxtapose that. That's at the beginning, and then here's what I say about my thoughts. So then I come to 8 months, and this is the end of this record, right? Because I had multiple books, and so I got through the first book. And I finish it up here, and then I started a second book, an actual physical book, you know? So here's a portion of it. So I say, okay, here's my thoughts for this first 8 months. It's to love one another. Don't be critical of others or try to analyze another's personality or character, because the odds are that if you do that, someone's doing that to you. You may not like what they think about you. I know I'm not better than anyone for serving a mission or being a Mormon. I can only do the best with what I have. Yeah. So at 8 months, I'm not feeling too perfectly cocksure about, being on a mission or being Mormon at that point. So I'm feeling a little better about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like when you look back on your past self, you're like, oh, okay, I don't hate myself so much.
Yeah.
You've got some proud moments in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I come back to this record I do seal by my own hands. Amen.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh, my God. And I dwelt in a tent.
I know. It was, that's so horrible.
Oof.
Wow.
Jake?
What did y'all do? Do you read the first one? Or how did you choose which one to even read?
Oh, I read the first, and that was the first and basically the last of this first, what I'll call Matthew 1.
Yeah.
First Matthew, I guess, yeah.
First Matthew.
Okay. I also wrote in red ink, which just seems odd, but. Anyway, Jake, what do you got?
All right. Well, I'll try and do the same thing. So I'll read the first one. God, I really don't want to do this. Like, I feel God, what was I thinking? Well, here I sit the night before I enter the MTC. Now, does this count, or because I'm set apart, but I'm not technically a missionary yet?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Here I sit, the night before I entered the MTC. It's a solemn occasion. Everything in my life up to this point has been preparatory to this. In a very cinematic way, it's all been leading to this. I put that in quotation marks. I really don't know what to expect. Well, that's not totally true, because Steven, my brother, told me pretty much everything that's going to happen in the MTC. But after that, what if I have a crappy trainer? What if I don't learn how to serve right? There's a difference between being a hard worker and a smart one. I'd rather be the latter. Anyway, the very core of me feels like it's being laid across a chasm of the unknown, and I have to cross on it. I just hope it's strong enough to bear my weight. I start mixing metaphors a lot here. My testimony is firm, though. On that, I can rely. Well, Elder Frost, this is it. You've paid your dues. You studied and prayed and prepared. You're at the end. You're at the edge, ready to take the plunge. All you have to do is jump. Let's see if I can get both feet off the ground. So that was so I became very cynical. If I had jumped to the end here, This is from December 30th, 2008. It says, Monday, we had another run-in with a branch crazy lady. She called us and asked us to come over and give her a blessing. Then she explained why. She went out visiting with the Relief Society president, Betty Kasike, sweet lady, super faithful. Her referrals always reject us, but hey, at least she's trying. They went by a small cliff. Long story short, 30 minutes telling time, 30 minutes in real time. Betty tried to seduce crazy lady to coming closer to the cliff because the devil was possessing her and was going to push her off the cliff and kill her. It's the only logical explanation. It can't be because she's a big, hefty woman and is for good reason afraid of heights. God, I was, this is really shitty.
Judgy much?
Oh man, this is terrible. Oh no, paranoid. She makes me want to poke out my own eyes every time she talks to us.
No.
She's a missionary, so we can't get rid of her. Whatever. Landmark. I'm about to finish my journal, and it only took me 21 months. Kind of pathetic, but what's done is done. I'm jealous of... And that was the last thing in that journal. I didn't seal it like the night. I didn't by my own hand. Those guys who have like three. I guess I suck. Also, I'm jealous of those who have journals with decent paper and not this tissue paper I'm writing on. All the so... Also, I'm jealous of those who can spell jealous without screwing it up twice like I just did. Oh, well, I really like my branch. So, like, this just goes on and on and on. God, I was such a little bitch.
Yeah, a little like whiny. I just
turned into a little bitch. So,
why did they get all the good paper?
Right? I complained about paper. Like, that's why I don't want anybody to read it. I wish I had, like, the sappy, like, sincerity of you guys. Because at least you, like, believed in something. By the end, I was just like, this sucks. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't want to be like Matt.
I think it's just the difference between millennials and normal people. And millennials on parade.
Yeah.
Millennials all right. On parade. That's great.
So, did you guys do first day? Which I just.
So I did first day and then last.
Read one you're willing to read.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, whatever.
I sound like a 6-year-old kid.
yeah, I know. We do.
This is Christmas Day, 1998. I'm going to go to sleep happy. Today is Christmas, and what a wonderful time of the year it is. This morning, we had a special Christmas breakfast. And yours truly cooked the eggs, hash browns, and ham. It was a great success. Next, we swapped presents.
It was a great success. Yours truly.
I didn't burn a thing.
Yours.
With the Lord, nothing is impossible.
We had all chosen someone from a hat to buy something for. I got Elder Poole and bought him a new camera because his old one was jacked. Elder Holt had my name and got me a chess set and a cool Donald Duck dictionary. I am so happy.
a Donald Duck dictionary?
Did that come with a stuffed animal?
I'm not sure. Oh, gosh.
You bought somebody a camera?
Okay. I'll never forget Elder Holt. That comes right after the Donald Duck Dictionary. I need to make sure to thank him again. So after a little while, we went and played PlayStation. That was fun.
What kind of a mission were you in, man?
It was Christmas Day.
You were allowed to play PlayStation?
It's kind of crazy that so many places are still open on Christmas. Next, we went home and waited for our phone calls from our families. I got mine right on time and was so excited to talk to all of them. Even Tom and Camille were there. I got to talk to them for about an hour or so. I then started making myself dinner, and the phone rang again. This is like, really? And then? Mom called me back to talk to me
some more.
How
many times did it ring?
Right? blah, blah, blah. I'm just kidding. I had a wonderful Christmas because of my mom. And then I made goals out of what my mom told me to. So I said, I'm going to write down some of what she said in the form of goals. Number one, only pass off the first two discussions by discussion, the rest by principle. Number two, pray for gift of tongues every prayer. It will eventually come. Number three.
How long have you been out by this point, Bob?
In country, only like 2 months.
Okay.
Number three, study for at least half an hour the Bulgarian Book of Mormon. Number four, study the English Book of Mormon and New Testament daily also. And that's where it ended.
Number five, find a hot babe that you'll eventually marry.
Done and done. I didn't meet her for another 4 months. I wonder if I have something in here. Well, that's probably too close to home.
There are off limits.
That's a little too incriminating.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I might have. That would be funny if I had, like,
that'd be great.
The first time I met her or something. I'll have to see. Oh, so, yeah, I was basically a six-year-old child on my mission, so it could be worse, guys.
Yeah, you could be a cynical jackass.
Yeah, I think we're all going to go away from this recording tonight and read through our mission journals.
Dude, I got to tell you, this is interesting. Tom, you didn't have yours? Okay, let me read one little section. I thought this was interesting. I've told you guys the story about how we had TV for a while in our apartment, that we connected cable.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, we connected cable at one point in our – we had pirated cable for a period of time. So I'm talking about how we got stopped at the bowling alley because of a big puddle that we went through, and so we had to wait for the engine to dry out so we could get started. So I said, so we just hung out and watched TV. We do that a lot lately. I'm going to talk about my mission a little bit. We went home a little early. It's just like home, winding down the day, watching TV. I'm not sure how bad it is to watch TV. I know it's a rule that we shouldn't watch TV, but we don't watch anything that bad. There may have been a couple times that we stayed in longer because of it, but I really don't feel all that bad about it.
Oh, as the long mental as we... justification of your... Eventually, I'm going to lose my faith in the church altogether. Slope right here.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Oh. All right, I'm in for doing this on the regular. This is funny.
Oh, man. I got one from the MTC.
Oh, yes.
Kyo wa junbi no hi deshita. Shinden ni ikimashita. Never mind. It's all like in really bad Japanese. So if people can speak Japanese out there, you'll get a kick out of this next line. After shinden ni ikimashita, I went to the temple. Peter ga Satan o cast out shite toki ni... or something like that. But it was funny because when they would teach us how to speak Japanese in the MTC, they would say, if you don't know the Japanese word, just throw in the English word. And so there's all this stuff in here. No, never mind. It was funny to me. Somebody else.
You know, we should also read our patriarchal blessings. That would be pretty interesting.
Oh,
didn't we do that once? Or
no, I've never done it. I want to do it.
Yeah, I'd do that. I wonder if I can find mine.
Yeah, I'm not sure where mine's at.
I think it's in one of my scriptures somewhere.
You can get it online. Just
even now that some of us have.
Oh yeah, I guess if you cut ties.
Oh my gosh! Sure I wrote a poem while I was in the MTC called "Perspective of My Busy Purposed Life."
Oh my gosh. Just the title.
Okay, I'm a holy representative, disciple of the Lord. And I've got just so much work to do to save this evil world. It all depends on me, I say. Then off to save all souls, to bring them to where I can see is one of many goals.
Oh, man.
So going to the place, I pass by friend and foe and me. Okay, I'm being cynical in here. Okay, oh awesome. Yeah, I was setting up a straw man that I could then... slay an effigy down here. So I pass by friend and foe and me, alone together, only in this missionary scene. As I start to go, I see a face below me in the street, a beggar woman, rags and all, grumbling at my feet. So quick I jump to avoid the sin, this obstacle I found, and running to my purposed life, I hear the cock crow sound. And then a laughing, playful soul attempts to block my way. I've got important work to do to rise up on that day. I've got no time to stand and talk. I've got to make my rounds. And running to my purposed life, I hear the cock crow sound. And busy working as a bee, there's so much more to do. Companions, friends, and family round. I've got no time for you. Looking only forward now, important work abounds. And running to my purposed life, I hear the cock crow sound. My mission over, great rewards await me at the gate. Magnificent accomplishments, the work I did was great. My savior waiting patiently looks down on me and smiles. I smile back and recognize the tears filled in his eyes. And looking back without a word, he tells me of my purposed life, the chances had, the pride. Again, I hear the cock crows thrice, my busy purposed life. Ugh. I'm kind of proud of myself a little bit for that.
Okay. All right.
Because I was being critical of the people that I thought were like missing the point. Not that I ever hit the point, but I at least was aware.
Your feet. Right.
Yeah. Mm.
I feel like I have this is like a half page, just really short, like cookie cutter. You could find this in any missionary journal. It's just a masturbation euphemism. here we go. Well, here I am a month since the last time I wrote in here, feeling somewhat guilty. I have decided to make a commitment to write in my journal more frequently. What that exactly means, I don't know. Probably once a week. That's the best I can promise. Today, I mostly wanted to relate an interesting experience I had while doing the usual morning study. As I said, I was just doing my regular study when my mind started to wander. Some bad thoughts crept in, and I received a very strong temptation. I quickly went into the other room and began praying. During the prayer, every sign of the temptation left me. I was able to carry on with my morning study without problems. Prayer is real, and this experience tells me I need to play with it more. Not understanding what I just said there. I need to play with... Nice. Yeah.
Wow. What a turn this took. We go from outrage to reading each other our like old mission journals. That's funny.
I got another short one that's kind of interesting to me. Let me read if we're still reading.
Go ahead.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm actually feeling pretty good about myself. I'm a little more real than I thought I'd be.
Yeah.
So this is this combination of real whiny, bitchy Jake and then kind of trying to be vulnerable too. So it's all right. Enough talky. So I really haven't had the best day. So I talk about my day for a minute, and then I say that we're scheduling splits for home teaching. So we used to split with the members to go home teaching, but I couldn't speak the language. We're going to do that twice a week, so you can imagine how much fun that is for me. I feel so bad that I can't speak to people and tell them how I'm feeling. I just realized I'm going on 4 months of this crap, and it'll probably be until 6 or 7 months until I get over it. If I don't go home first, I've been thinking a lot about, quote, you know what? I don't think I'll go home, but I can't wait to get it all behind me. Yeah, I think I'm talking about the language here, right? So after home teaching, there was no mail for me. I'm sick of not having mail. I haven't had a letter in over 2 weeks. To top it off, I won't get the second volume of A Work in a Glory for a whole month or a whole something. Because somebody is away from finishing it. Oh, Rich. So Rich was the elder, what are they called? Zone leaders, okay? Because Rich is a long ways from finishing it. I think Rich is an asshole. I call asshole. It like I see it.
Did you really write asshole in there?
I'm telling you, I wrote asshole.
But
I'm probably just in a bad mood. When I'm in a good mood, I still think he's an asshole.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I just like how I'm like, I may go home. I can't speak the language. But on top of everything, I can't have the second book of Work in the Glory.
All right, so you were a little bit of a whiny bitch. I'm glad you grew out of that.
Yeah, right.
Going back to the outrage.
Outrage! Jeez, so I just shipped. I'm like, man, I want to go home. I want to read this book, and this guy's an asshole. What a little whiny bitch. Sorry about that.
This has been depressing. So I've been kind of looking through, be like, what is going on with me? And it's just fucking awful. Like every third entry is just like paralyzing, soul crushing feelings of inadequacy and insecurity. And like, I'm not doing it. Nothing's happening. Nobody's getting baptized. Like, I hate myself. Like, it's just fucking terrible. God.
A lot of mine is just basketball and watching TV. And
I had a basketball entry in mine too. Yeah.
I got to go take a leak, so I'm going to jump off.
All right. What? No. Take all the right. microphone with you. Like
find your journal, Tom. I want to hear some Tom.
All right. Yeah. So, well, yeah, we'll have to pick up part two. I'll pick it up, but I can't promise that it's going to be riveting at all.
Guarantee you it will be entertaining. There's no way.
Instead of Tom's journal, what I could do is I could dig up the recordings that he and I sent to each other back. That was probably in 2010, Tom.
Oh, don't do that.
When I was in China, and I like when Tom and I started dating online, we're like sending each other our. Here's what my mission story, and like I just like talked for an hour and a half, and then you sent me Bowen back that was 45 minutes and told me all your mission stories.
Okay.
Yeah. More Patreon content.
Yeah.
Are you going to use any of this?
I'm outraged.
All right, but yeah, if you want, I'll read some when I find out which box I put it and buried it on.
Oh yeah,
you gotta find the treasure map so I can dig it up, then I can find it. All right, night guys.
Yeah, okay. All right, are we all popping off, to use a Jake term?
God, that was...
I did want to wrap up one thing on outrage.
That's
Here's
funny.
What I've
Thanks,
learned.
Matt.
The more that, or the less that I've commented, my algorithms are changing. And so I'm not getting a lot on my feed as I used to, just the less I'm using social media, Facebook. And I think that's a good thing, man.
Mm, yeah. Just disappear into the. Yeah.
Basically, Jake this mother where you're kind of on Facebook, but not really.
Right. You're just a lurker. Hey, lurkers shall inherit the earth. I think that was the blessed are the lurkers, for they shall inherit the internet.
I definitely think the lurkers are the healthy ones, man, or healthier, I guess. You're not healthy. No one's healthy, but
no one's healthy. Oh, hey, would a man that's not healthy say this? I think God hates me. Oh well, if I keep my temple covenants and get sealed, he's gonna have to see me every day for all of eternity.
Oh my God!
I'll be moonwalking the celestial kingdom. Then we'll see who's laughing.
Wow!
Did you really?
That's amazing.
I think I'm like, I was gonna go to the celestial kingdom out of spite. I was like, "Fuck you, motherfucker! I'm gonna spit in your eye."
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that guy. I don't care how much you hate me. You can't stop me.
I followed the rules.
Luke I got home. All the ordinances. Nothing you can do about it.
That's dark, dude.
Yeah, and that's like that is a very common theme in my journal. It's actually quite depressing. This is like a weird slice of a very disturbed psyche.
Yeah, that just makes me want to hear more of it.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
It's like Infant on Throne, you know, banter, but 10 years earlier or something. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
but Jake, awesome. Jake hasn't even been back from his mission for 10 years.
Has he not?
No. No.
You were 10 out years ago. I was on my mission.
You were on your mission 10 years ago, but you haven't been back for 10 years.
I was close.
Actually, what is?
I guess that
2009.
Yeah, the one I just read was from 2008. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it would be 10 years next year, next summer.
Wow.
For those who have trouble with math.
Yeah, and see, I'm what, 90, 94 to 96, man.
Gonna miss you at Sunstone, Jake.
I know. I wish I could be there. That was last year was so much fun, just like hanging out when we went to dinner afterward and like just hung out that night. It was the best.
Yeah.
That they're serving and they think they're doing the, you know, they that it's this context where they you know, the people really believed it, but like you're taking these impressionable young kids and you're isolating them from their family and you're literally stripping away their identity. You replace their first name with a title.
Right.
You dress them up all the same. You give them the same haircut. And then you put like this immense psychological pressure that they're responsible for other people's life decisions.
Yeah.
And they're 19 and like alone in a strange country assigned to hang out with somebody they've never met before. Like, that's so fucking
cool. Well, there's this whole idea
of reprogramming of the MTC, so you reprogram them. And...
But it, I mean, it's just it really is damaging, and I can see myself like just barely hanging on and like spiraling.
Well,
and
that whole
God, I just feel awful for that kid. Like, oh my God, how could you do that to him? Yeah. Like, I hated myself. I hated myself.
But you hated yourself because you felt like you were failing, right?
I felt like you were failing because
other people weren't agreeing with the gospel and getting baptized, and you felt like that was because you were doing something wrong.
But well, it's not just because I thought that. I was told that.
Right, right.
You know,
I
was told that like
you felt,
if I
I'm
was,
just saying you
if
felt
I was just
it. I'm not saying that you like did that to yourself in a vacuum.
Yeah. You know, you're right. But it's just and just to see like I was a perfectly, you know, I just don't feel like I deserve to feel that badly about myself.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I just didn't feel like I deserved to hate myself as much as I did while I was a missionary, and also like convince myself that the reason that I hated myself is because God willed it in some way. It was just, it's fucked up, man.
Yeah, that is really a mindfuck, dude.
You know, I'm glad we did this, and I'm glad I read that poem, and I'm glad that I fooled myself where like at the beginning of it, I thought I was being totally the person that I actually hated, even as I was writing that. And I think about like what you're saying, Jake, that the mission was the beginning of my faith crisis for sure. Like the cracks that started forming. And I remember in one of the last areas I was in.
Yeah. All should have been recorded. What Jake was saying and what you're saying now is all really good stuff.
Maybe it is being recorded, Matt. Maybe I started pushing record, but you know, in the last area of my mission, or one of the last areas of my mission, I got super angry at the other two missionaries that were in the apartment because they were treating the investigator. They were like mapping it out because this one guy he was just this insufferable guy who had been AP and now he was ZL and he just thought he was like, ugh. And so he's like, okay, I've got 4 days left on my mission and we've got 4 discussions left to give him. And they like look at each other like, oh, 4, 4, it's totally fake. This is gonna happen.
Oh,
so if we teach him this discussion on this morning and then we do this in the afternoon and then we get the interview with him right here, then we can do the baptism on the morning that I go to the train station and, you know, get that in just before I go, and we are gonna get this right in under the wire. And I went, whose wire? Like, what? Whose timeline are you on? Like, you guys think that this guy is just going to accept everything? He's been your investigator for a month, and now you're going to finish the last 4 discussions in the last 4 days and get this? Is this about him, or is this about you getting a feather in your hat before you go back from your mission in the suit that you've had crumpled up intentionally in the bottom of your closet specifically so that it looks worn when you get home? That's a real thing. He really did that, and he admitted it. He wanted
horrible.
To be seen as like this warrior missionary kind of thing, and it turned me off so hard. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I saw that. You know? I'm proud of me for that.
Yeah. Nah, good for you. I mean, I think by the end, I eventually got to a point where, like, I tried to strike kind of a more wise balance between all of this. But, like, the thing that I read was in the midst of I don't know, like that. Like when I got in a fight with my companion, it's just because like
this was when I was, you glued like, your eyeball shut.
Yeah, I glued my yeah. And, like all of that stuff, and then like so my mission president. God, I could build this whole narrative from the journals, but like when I was on my mission, I hit the 10. It was the 10-year anniversary of my dad dying. And that day was like in my, it was like in the first, you know, few months of my mission. And that day was like the day of like interviews. And like, I talked to my new mission president about it and like, look, I just am, you know, feeling all these really weird emotions because like, I always felt like, you know, my mission would be a way for me to connect with my dad because my parents always told me like, anyway, whatever. And like my mission president was like, oh, you know, you're doing great and the Lord loves you. And, you know, I'm proud of you. And like, it was this amazing moment. And then after I got in a fight with my mission president was like, I'm disappointed in you. And he never showed any like affection toward me again after that. Cause I
just shut it off.
Yeah. Wow. He just shut it off. He's like, oh. And every interview after that, he's like, get in, what's going on? Oh, well, somebody in your zone complained about whatever, do better, get out. And so it was just like fucking terrible. Huh. So, and like when that happened, like, it was just, God, I was so alone.
And it was it the same mission president for your whole mission? You didn't get a swap in?
Yeah, no, my guy swapped in like in my first change. So he was the whole time. So I don't, and I don't want to, I don't know.
You're not alone. Even
anyway.
Though you think you are alone.
I think that's exactly what Jake needed.
Yeah.
I wonder, but
I didn't want to turn it into like a sob story for myself. It was just a really difficult time. I don't know.
But I wonder how much the mission, kind of the mission president roulette, because I feel like I had some the greatest mission presidents that were so understanding and kind of loving and responsive. But it sounds like you had kind of a bit of a tool.
And the thing is, he wasn't like a bad guy. Like in so many ways, he was a good guy. I just think that like he got fed up with me and was tired of it. I don't know. I mean, he's probably just thought I was just a troublemaker, which I guess I was. I don't know. It's just, it's all fucked up. But it was the beginning of my faith crisis. I definitely... Because, you know, like, I don't know. I never felt like God answered any prayers when I was on my mission. And even while I was on my mission, like, as I'm reading through the journal, like, I read about, like, we prayed. I really felt like God is going to help us. You know, we set this goal. You know, what did you call it, Glenn? What was the thing where it's like you covenant with the Lord, covenant missionaries?
Well, yeah, the Japanese word was seiyaku dendo, but it was covenant missionary work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that type of thing like that, that's really face shaking to like really, really, if you really internalize that idea and then it doesn't come to fruition, like how do you even reconcile that? It's difficult. Anyway. All right. I got to go. Sorry. I've been much love, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Cool. Yeah, it's fun. Bye.
See ya.
All right. So what did you think of that discussion? Pretty good one, right? So if you're interested in joining Patreon, go ahead and keep listening. If not, you can turn this off now. I'll wait. All right, so is it just us here now? Okay, so here's the thing. I'm just going to level with you. I know there's going to be a bunch of criticism because Infants on Thrones has been like no monetization forever, but you know, here's the bottom line. I want to start making money from the work that I put into Infants on Thrones. Not only because you can buy anything in this world with money, but because when I think about what I love to do, what I'm good at, and what I'd do if I could actually do what I want to do to make a living, this is it. I would create stuff. I would do things that we've really only scratched the surface on over the past 5 years of Infants on Thrones. And if this Patreon thing ever grew into something that would actually allow me to do that, well, let's just say I wouldn't be giving myself so many checkups from the neck ups in that case. So, you know, you can help make that happen. Well, at least if me creating more stuff for you to enjoy is something that you want to do. So consider it not only an investment in me and in my fellow infants as creators of content, but also
think of it as an investment in the kind of entertainment that you want to consume. Now, we currently have 4 different tier levels for Patreon members. You can commit to paying $1, $2, $3, or $5 per episode. And we have different rewards associated with each of those tiers. And we average about 7 to 10 episodes a month, so you do the math. And with Patreon, this is a really cool feature. You can set a monthly limit. So if we do go hog wild with new content, but you only have a budget for maybe $10 or $20 a month, you can set that limit on your Patreon account. And you can change tier levels at any time. So if you want to have access to the video feeds or the raw recordings before they're edited and published, or the monthly fast and testimony hangout episodes that we're going to start doing on the first Sunday of every month, or any of the other things that we come up with and use as incentives, you can change your subscription level up or down at any time. Now, you can find more details about this on the Patreon webpage, which we link to from our website, but if you want to go there, it's www.patreon.com/infants. That's it. So, thank you for listening and for all the support and encouragement that you've provided us over the years. I hope to see you on Patreon. And tell you what, okay, once we get 200 Patreon subscribers, that should be easy for us, right? Once we get to 200, I'll release the recordings that I talked about on this episode here that I made with Tom 7 years ago where we talked about our mission stories, because that ought to piss him off. Anyway, thanks again. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.